Hello, 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 and welcome to the show. I'm Tay, Eric Taylor.
We went backwards.
And this is...
And I'm Ray, that's Tall Rayside.
Oh, man, good to hear you. It's a great, funny, fantasy, fantastic Friday. Join the adventure. Ray will break the show down for you. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, shoot us your emails. We've got some backed up, and we will get to some of them when we especially get later on to our fantasy football segment, because we got some of those. And that's at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Keep them coming. We love the questions and thoughts and comments. And like always, you can hit us up at Facebook and Twitter and tweet at us and, you know, just communicate with us, because we will get back to you. We're an interactive show. We love to have fun with our audience, with other people in media and broadcasting, with athletes. We kind of talk to everybody, not just on our show, but also through Twitter, and it's kind of fun. And then also, you can always check out rayandtaytoday.com. We have our college football preview. We're going to get all of our predictions up there. And coming soon, and September 4th, Wednesday, our NFL preview. And we'll have all of our picks up there, so you can compare your picks with Ray and Tay and debate us or laugh at us, criticize us, whatever you want to do. And Charles Davis, check out that college football preview show. Man, college football started off with a bang last night. And Ray, we will talk about it. Tell them how we're doing our show today.
So we got a jam-packed show for you today. We've got a bunch of breaking news in the NBA, NFL. They had a settlement. Golf and tennis is going on. So we got quite a bit going on in breaking news. And then we'll have a special guest. You may know her dad, Don Imus, but she's a comedian in her own right, and she's going to come on this show, and we're going to have a blast with her. So her name is Elizabeth Imus Zero, so she'll be on the show as well.
And with a great new book, right? Tell them about the book.
Brand new book, Etiquette for Idiots and Other Stupid Stories. It's actually pretty funny.
Love it. So, that's a great title.
We'll let her talk about that, and then we'll have some fun with her. And then afterwards, we'll talk some college football. We got three big games this weekend. We had a few big games as the season kicked off yesterday. And then...
Mm-hmm.
Without
fantasy football.
Yeah, without waiting any longer, let's do it. Fantasy football. So people are starting the draft. I had a draft last night. I got a couple more this weekend. So let's talk fantasy football. We'll talk about what we're seeing in our mock drafts and in our real drafts. And we'll talk about our strategy. And we'll go by the positions, tell you who's a sleeper, who are kind of overrated, underrated. So, yeah, we should have a lot of
fun. And some
of
the rules to drafting, right? Because some people are first-time drafters, and some people just don't know the rules. Kind of like we got to give them some etiquette for some of the idiots. And listen, Ray and I are two leagues together, Real Ball, which we've been doing forever, and this year our first annual Ray and Tay Today Fantasy Football League. So that's going to be fun. So, Ray, tell him, man, let's get right to it. What's happening in tennis? I see my boy Andy Murray is up. What's going on over there in Queens and Fresh Meadows, man? Let him know.
Yeah, so Andy Murray is leading, right? So he's number 3 seed. Number 1 seed, Novak, my boy, the Joker. Novak Djokovic won, so he's good to go. It looks like, the upsets will come. The upsets will come. I shouldn't be too anxious, right? The upsets will come.
We have to bid
adieu
to the young girl, Duval. She lost in the second round, but, you know, she's young. Very cute girl,
right?
She's 17
years old. 17 years old.
Yeah. No, it's a great story, though. Definitely.
No, it's definitely. So we've got, this weekend, right, is going to be a good weekend, and the beginning of next week is when it's going to really heat up, when you start to get into fourth round and fifth round action, and you start to get ready for the quarters and the semis and obviously the finals, you know, at the end of next weekend or next weekend on Saturday and Sunday.
Right, and
also,
Venus is gone, right?
Yeah.
Venus is gone, coming back. And, you know, Ray and I were talking off air. I think she's not completely healthy yet, and Ray thinks she might be done, which would kind of be sad.
In that sport, if you are in your 30s, that's considered way over the hill. I mean, look at a guy like Roger Federer, who's having trouble hanging on to his number 1 status. I mean, he's ranked number 7 at the U.S. Open. And
no, you're right.
in his early 30s. Even Sampras, you know, these guys max out. You know, mid-20s is when you're at your peak, and then after that, you're on the downside of your career. So, you know, 17,
Serena's coming up in the third round. She's going to play. Serena plays later on, right? So that should be good. But let me ask you this. What's going on in golf as they go for their sort of the FedEx Cup? Looks like our boy Phil Mickelson's in the lead, huh?
Phil Mickelson is what's going on. That's all you need to know. That really is all you need to know. Tiger shoots a 68, which is a great round, but he's looking up at Phil 63. So that's pretty crazy at the Deutsche Bank
Sergio's
Championship.
Alive too. Sergio's playing good, which is good to see him bounce back.
Well, they had the mega pairing, right? They put Adam Scott, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods together, which is kind of a cool pairing, right? If you're walking the course and you just follow those three, that's a pretty cool pairing. But
I gotta admit, I've never seen
Adam Scott shoots a 73, and Tiger shoots a 68, and Phil shoots a 63. So, whew, that was that's a nice, interesting.
You know, I've never been. I've never been to a golf. I can't say match a golf tournament, and I've never been to a hockey game.
Oh, really?
Nor cricket.
You got to go see
your
Coyotes.
That's what I'm going to do. I might swing a ticket for Ray to come out here and join me for a hockey game, and we could do Ray and Tay live at the Coyotes. How about that? That'd be awesome.
Nice. That's nice. So let's get into the other breaking news. Obviously, there was the NFL settlement. The NFL agreed to pay some $750 million to settle.
$765 million.
To settle a lawsuit that was hanging over their head that they said could be in the billions. It's really to address this issue of safety, concussions, and health care after your playing days. And
even relatives, even relatives of athletes like Seau and people who have died or committed suicide and passed away, they will receive funds as well, which I think is kind of fantastic. We've seen Eric Dickerson and Kevin Mawai and other guys speak out and sort of say that, hey, they had to get it done, but, Kevin Mawai, who, played center for the Titans and Jets, felt like it was hush money. Dickerson sort of felt like, they had to do something to get something for these guys who are in desperate need, like, immediately. I feel like, hey, like you said, it could have been billions, and they could have made it back to NFL, right, in a year or two. We don't know their books because they won't open them up. But, it was estimated that they could have won in litigation, which could have taken forever. They could have won anywhere from $2 to $4 billion. So $765 million, $10 million goes for research, for future research. I don't actually know if that's enough, but and then another 75 for I forgot, and then basically the rest of it, 600 something, for all the athletes. I feel sad, but I feel like, hey,
well,
it's better late than never, right?
Right?
Yeah. No, it is, and let's just hold the game. At the end of the day, it's not touch football. It's not flag football. This is the NFL, man. It's a rough, violent game. I mean, last night I'm watching a game with my wife, watching Mississippi against Vanderbilt, and on a kick return, Vandy put a hit on one of the Ole Miss guys, and it was a shot. And, ESPN replayed it a couple times, and my wife was like, oh, you want one of your four sons playing this game?
That was
and
exactly
like,
where I was going with this. There is a real dilemma now, because I think that a lot of parents out there are going to look at this, and they're going to say, I don't want my kids playing football. I don't want my kids playing youth football. I don't want my kids getting hurt. So it's a big deal.
No, definitely. So let's scoot over to the NBA. Kind of sad. Lamar Odom, who's had all these issues with his wife and sort of missing and rumors of drugs, 72 hours, he was arrested for, DUI charges. Ray, I think, he's a free agent, might not get picked up with the Clippers or the Lakers or anybody for that matter. Who knows? But I just think ever since the Lakers traded him, he sort of, to Dallas 2 years ago, it's just really put him in such a place. It's actually kind of sad to see a career sort of end this way. If it is officially over, and if it's not, you just hope that the guy can get back to playing because he's a great talent. Great talent. It's just definitely a little sad. And you know what else? This is a one up your alley.
Here we go. We've got our guest.
Oh, okay.
Elizabeth Imazero, welcome to the show. You're on with Ray and Tay today.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, it's great to have you. I'm Eric Taylor, Tay. Nice to meet you.
What are you guys doing today? Nice to meet you, too. What are you wearing?
Oh, it's a sports Friday. We're getting into the sports, but we're ready to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm in a hockey mask and some soccer shorts right now.
Nice.
That's great.
Oh, my God. So welcome to the show. So obviously, for those who don't know, those are too young. Your dad is a famous, obviously, nationally syndicated sports – he talks about sports as well, but he's a nationally syndicated talk show host, and he's a funny guy. So
yeah.
So you're funny in your own right.
A legend.
So tell us about growing up in the Imus household, and how funny is your dad off air, and how did you pick up things from him, or how are you different?
Yeah, well, for those of your listeners who don't know, my father is Don Imus. He's a radio personality, and he's actually exactly the same person he is on the air as he is off the air. He's just, when he's off the air, he's actually more introverted, so he's just quieter, and when you put a mic in front of his mouth, he gets a little louder and talks more. But, yeah, he's the real deal. I mean, he's a cowboy, and that's not an act. Like, he was raised on a ranch out here in California and Arizona, and his dad was a cowboy, and we had, like, cowboy stuff all over the house growing up. And I am not a cowboy. I am a California girl. I was born out here, but I was raised in New York and Connecticut with my parents, and it was a lot of fun. My parents rode motorcycles, and they were pretty crazy, and it was pretty cool having a father who would just pretty much say anything that he wanted to anyone. And unfortunately, as a child growing up around that, I thought I was allowed to do that too. And it's a rude awakening. You're like, people aren't paying me $1 million to be obnoxious and funny. So you have to kind of, as you're growing up, learn to keep a lid on it. But now they're paying me to be obnoxious and funny, and it's working out great. So I'm happy.
I was going to say, Elizabeth, that might not work too good in third grade with your teachers, right? You know, that's
No, it did not. I was in the principal's office a lot. And then, of course, I'd go home, and my dad would think whatever I said was, like, the greatest thing ever. He'd laugh his what off. So
that's funny. So now you do improv, sketch comedy, radio. You even wrote a book. So where are you? Let's ask you, where are you at your funniest? What's your funniest medium? And then talk to us a little bit about your book.
I'm funniest when I'm having sex. That's my funniest.
Okay.
I'm in bed with you guys. It's a nonstop comedy show, and it goes on for hours. So
that sounds inspiring.
I won't laugh at you, but I'll be happy if you laugh at me. It's good. It all works out. But, I love improv, and I do a lot of hosting live events. My favorite thing to do is write. I can sit around and write. And that's how this book, Etiquette for Idiots and Other Stupid Stories, was born. And if anybody wants to go to my website, elizabethbureau.com, you can see all the stuff that I'm doing, including, there's, like, links to Amazon and Barnes & Noble to buy the book. And
definitely.
So, yeah, and Zero is actually my real last name. There's a Mr. Zero. It's an Italian name, so it's not like a weird stage name.
No,
use my full name, I'm a Zero, because I'm trying to cash in and sell books. So.
Why not?
Keep it real. You got it.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, I mean, all
you know what's so funny?
Radio. Oh. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. You finish. I wanted to sort of segue off of that and ask you something.
Yeah, no, my career, everything I've done with my career has been me. It's like I'm doing it, so I don't get, there's not a lot of nepotism in my family, so I haven't really cashed in on the name thus far, but I figured why not, because people are really interested in who my dad is, and it is kind of funny and interesting, so whatever.
Well, one thing that I found interesting and just, reading up about you, one, obviously I saw you had a nice little blurb there from Gerardo Rivera, but also, I guess two things. The how did you come up with the great title for your book? And then give us, our audience, a little, some information about what is Zero Talk? Because I think Zero Talk is great, and you definitely had me laughing and smiling. And there was some satire there, you know, political satire, which I loved from, you know, basically from your father, like, you know, how he would do it, you know, even with, when I saw you talking about the libertarians and just all these different things. So tell the audience about the title of the book and how you came up with it and Zero Talk.
Okay, well, Etiquette for Idiots and Other Stupid Stories, the title, it just kind of flows. And if I could sing, I would try to be a rock star. And I love music and I love writing. So, you know, words are interesting to me, and I love to sit and write, like I said. So, you know, everything to me, and also because I'm a comedian and I did stand up for years, and just the way that you deliver a line or you speak in general, it needs to have certain beats, and so you need to have a sound to it. And I like the sound, and the Etiquette for Idiots part came about because, you know, I like to cook. I threw a dinner party once, many times, and I had this horrible guest one time, and so I decided to make a list of rules for these idiots who show up at my house and drive me nuts. And then, and that was a big hit on my blog and on my Facebook page, which I spent hours a day on each day. And then I just started making other, like, etiquette rules. Like, it's not really an etiquette book like Emily Post. It's more like etiquette rules for dead people or, like, sociopaths, just stupid things. And then my publisher said it needed to be 40,000 words at least. So I thought, well, I can write some stupid stories. People might want to read that, and they do. So that's how
there
the
you go.
Whole thing together.
Being and then Zero Talk?
Zero Talk started. I started when I wanted to do radio a couple years ago. Somebody actually, it never ever occurred to me because I thought that's ridiculous. I mean, I never even thought about it. But when someone did say, my friend said, you should do radio, I'm like, that's crazy. My dad's like a radio star. Like, that would be so, that's like Lisa Marie Presley trying to have a singing career. I mean, I'm not even, she's way better than I am, so I'm not comparing myself in any way. But that's sort of like, you know, or my dad's not the king or anything, but he is popular. And so I was really hesitant at first. But I went and I went to the local college and I took a class and I learned how to work the board and I applied for a show and I got a show and I brought it to number one in 6 months. And I did public radio for a while, and then I started writing radio stations in Los Angeles. And so this guy, Cal Saul, called me up and said, hey, why don't you come to Geraldo's Luncheon? We're welcoming him to KABC. And so I went, and I introduced myself to all the DJs, and Doug McIntyre put me on as a regular on his show, on his morning show. And Geraldo's actually been a friend of my dad's for years, and then he's been having me on his show, and his producer, Marty Berman's really awesome. And so, you know, it's just, you know, pounding the pavement and putting myself out there. But Zero Talk now is anything that I want to write or talk about. And it can be political because I'm a libertarian, or it can just be like right now my last blog was about, it's about my book tour that I'm on right now.
Okay. Right. So we were talking briefly, obviously, about, you know, just some of the sports, and obviously your father really pioneered with Mike Francesa and Chris Mad Dog, who we grew up listening to. We're New York City kids, even though I'm out here in Scottsdale and Ray is still in Manhattan. You know, WFAN 660 Sports Radio, New York City. And we're kind of curious, do you like sports? And, like, what are you sport? Like, what is your sport of choice if you watch it? And do you have any favorite teams?
Yes to all of those questions. I love
cool sports. Shoot.
And I'll tell you what I love about them. I like to watch guys run around and get sweaty. And if a guy can run up and down a field or an ice rink or a court for like 30 minutes and sweat really hard, then I like that. I know that guy can keep up with me, and that makes me happy. And I like their outfits as well. My favorite team is the Detroit Lions. Sorry, I'm not even giving you guys a breath.
Cool.
Reggie Bush. I follow him around because he dissed Kim Kardashian, and I think that's hilarious. And then you put in with Calvin Johnson, and that's a delicious meat sandwich that I'll have for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So, I like hockey. I'm really into live hockey. I was at the I was on the glass when the Ducks won in 07 here in Orange County. And So, what do you
think? So, you're Ducks or Rangers or Islanders? What's your team? Ducks, Rangers, Islanders? Who you got?
I don't really like the Ducks anymore. I think I'm gonna stick with the Rangers.
Cool, there you
but
go.
But I was a Ducks fan.
Do you have any etiquette advice or stupid stories about pro athletes? Because, you know, there's a lot of them out there, I guess.
Yeah, how about Sasha Vujacic? You need to stop wearing a headband. That's for girls. That looks dumb. That's why all the boys were picking on him. Kobe Brown needs to get bigger hands. I don't like that. I used to be a huge Lakers fan. I had season tickets in the 12th row, like facing where the TV was looking, and then I just got burned out. I just couldn't take it anymore. So.
Now, you mentioned a lot of flakiness, right? You talk about in LA, there's a lot of flaky people. So who do you think are flakier, athletes or entertainers?
Oh, you know, definitely entertainers. Athletes can't be flaky. If you're gonna have a serious career and the dedication and then the time that's spent in order to perfect your talent and to win and to play as a team, that to me is, you know, that's your whole entire life. A lot of these entertainers in Hollywood, they're just, you know, some of them do spend their whole life and they're really dedicated, amazing people. And some of them are just douchebags that just, like, get discovered and then they act like idiots. So
let me ask you this. I thought it was kind of interesting because I really liked, you know, I know you do the Zero Talk with the radio, but I sort of enjoyed your Zero Talk videos on YouTube. And you've got, you know, quite a few. And is it sort of a situation where there's segments and there's sort of like video blogs, or are you doing it, you know, for a show? Is it just sort of your sort of YouTube blog? Like, explain that to us. And do you still produce them and make them? How does that work for you?
Well, some of them I get paid for. Like, I'm doing stuff like politically. Like, we just called out the IRS and pointed out what they did wrong. Another one, you know, talking about the Bill of Rights, where it's like the government's trying to tell us what we need versus, you know, who are they to tell us we can't have guns or ammunition when they're giving guns and ammunition to terrorists? Like, don't
and foreign countries, right? Exactly.
And then give old Muhammad, you know, a jet fighter. I don't want to do that. So I'm speaking out against that, and I don't want to be told how much soda I can drink. It's ridiculous what our government and our American society is allowing people to do. So I love to speak out about that, but I'm doing it in a funny way because you can't really hit people over the head with all this information. It's just overwhelming with all the technology that's out there. So, like, one of my blogs I just recently wrote was about the Federal Reserve, and I compared it to porn because people will read about that because it's funny and it's dirty and they like it. And this is the way I'm going to reach people. I'm the queen of the idiots, actually. So this is my thought. Is like, I'm
your platform?
Yeah. It's my
just
platform.
Throw porn in, like, everywhere and it'll get people's attention.
Yeah, it's a multi-billion-dollar industry. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that people, you know, have all these religious opinions about it or whatever. But it'll get people's attention, and maybe they'll wake up, and maybe they'll think differently next time they want to vote. I work with this organization called Free and Equal, and you can find their information at freeandequal.org. And they're about changing the electoral process. And at UCLA this October in the band Public Enemy. You guys know Flavor Flav, right?
Sure,
and,
yes, we do. Chuck D.
Yeah, Public Enemy. Yeah, they're going to be headlining, and the band Golden State, which is an awesome band, they're going to be playing. Also, the band Saving Abel, and they're going to have some speakers like Gary Johnson and Jill Stein, and I get to host the event. There's going to be a lot of other comedians too, and what they're trying to do is reach out to college students and young people and change the electoral system by making it easier for third-party candidates to become, you know, part of the debate and also get on the ticket and really abolish the whole system as it is right now, because it's really run with just based on money and BS.
Totally. You have to be much more than a multimillionaire to run, and it'd be nice to see common people actually represent us. Ray and I talk about that all the time, and I always tell them off air, until we have a 3-to-5-party system, it's all a joke. It's the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, it is.
So
and this is a nonpartisan group, but they're primarily libertarian, I would say, but they're about being free and equal, and that's their name, and about telling the truth and being honest, and that's what I'm about, and that's why, you know, with my book, Etiquette for Idiots and Other Stupid Stories, I put it all out there. And so if the media wants to come after me and discredit me, they can't, because I just basically outed myself in every possible way. And I told the truth. And the truth is, and this is, you know, thank you for the compliment of comparing me to my father, because I think he's really brilliant and funny.
Yeah.
But really, like, you guys are the same way. Like, you're funny and you're honest and you're real. And that's what makes good radio. That's what makes good entertainment, is the truth. And it's, because the truth is funny.
Yeah, and the truth is powerful. And thank you for giving us that nice compliment. I wanted to ask you this, though, because, you know, that's one thing I've always liked about your father. And even if, you know, he's, you know, way ahead of people in terms of backing certain candidates, you know, for senators or governors. You know, he sort of did that way before, you know, any of these radio talk show pundits or whatever, you know, would do that. And so growing up with him, did you sort of feel like you followed or emulated his sort of political thoughts or humor thoughts, you know, by living with him? Or did you feel that you sort of, you know, strayed away from any of his ideas or thoughts? How would you sort of gauge that, or what do you think?
My dad's really not ever been terribly political as a person. Like, he does have his opinions on everything, but I, you know, I have two adult children. I have a 25-year-old son and a 23-year-old daughter. And while I was raising them, I studied comedy during that entire time, performed it, and was out there just doing all different kinds of stuff. And really, my political beliefs didn't come into play until about 3 years ago, when I realized, you know, my kids are grown and they're out of the house and they're amazing, doing well. And now I'm at the point where I'm like, well, how can I spend the rest of my life, and what can I do with all of my talents as a comedian and a writer and a performer? And I made the decision to use my voice because I, even though I'm crazy and I'm like all these wild stories and stuff like that, if you look at my history, you can go back and I have like perfect credit. You know, I own property. I'm like a healthy person. I'm not addicted to pills. My kids are normal. You know, I've been married for most of my adult life. And faithful.
It's a regular old gal.
but I have
Elizabeth
credit to back up all my stuff, but I could still be who I really am. And so I'm going to use my voice to say, yeah, we should make marijuana legal. It's like there's a person who dies every 5 minutes from prescription pill and overdose in this country, and marijuana's never killed anybody. So I'm doing that.
All right.
Okay.
Well, look. Let's get you out of here. What's next for you? What's you've got this book. You're on this book tour. You've done so much. And what's next? What's ahead?
Well, I'm finishing up this book tour. I'm doing a lot of performing at UCB, which is the Upright Citizens Brigade. Improv and sketch and stuff like that. And I'm hosting this event for Free and Equal in October 12th at UCLA. And I don't know. I haven't planned. I only plan a couple months in advance. But I actually have a lot of cool things I can't really talk about coming across my desk. Offers to co-host some radio shows and maybe do some television. So I'm just sort of seeing what comes up as a result of what everything that I'm doing now. And then I'll go.
That sounds great. Well, listen, I think you're a great host from what I've seen. And I could see you definitely with your humor and your edge being a fantastic host on like daytime television, and I think that would be something great and extremely refreshing for audiences, you know. So
I wish
you all the best with that.
Thank you. Yeah,
well, listen, don't be a stranger when you get super super big. Still, you know, remember Ray and Tay, okay?
No. I know you guys are friends of Boggio, so I'm. If any friend of his is a friend of mine, so we're all good. We'll hang out and party one day.
It sounds like
cool,
a plan.
Cool.
So if we can do it in New York, we can do it in L.A., we can do it in Arizona. We'll find a place where we're all in the same city.
Perfect.
All right, Elizabeth.
Great,
thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Good luck with the book and good luck with your next endeavor. And if you're doing big things, let us know. We'll have you back on the show and you can tell our audience about it again.
Thanks. And if you don't mind me just plugging my website one more time.
Yes, sure.
Oh, please. Plug away. We were looking for a Twitter for you. Are you on Twitter at all as well or no?
No, I quit Twitter because it's stupid, because celebrities try to have private conversations with each other, and it's dumb. Anyway, sorry.
I know. Hey,
I'm
listen,
Facebook,
Ray
though.
And I just have to do it for the business. We don't like it either.
No, whatever. Go on Facebook and be my Facebook friend, and then we can interact in a healthy way.
We'll hit you up on Facebook.
But you can go to ElizabethZero.com, and it's spelled like the regular Elizabeth and then Z-E-R-O, and you can get everything there. So thanks, you guys.
Great. Thanks.
Okay, great.
Thanks for coming on the show.
All right, take it easy.
Take care.
All right, bye, Elizabeth.
Bye.
Oh, that's great. Elizabeth Imus Zero with an amazing book title, career. I mean, I couldn't believe she told us she was a mother of two young men because she looks like she's about 28 herself. Etiquette for Idiots and Other Stupid Stories. Go pick
that
up today.
It's in two chapters, too. So first of all is etiquette. Like she said, you got a whole list of etiquette rules for people that come over. But I'm thinking if you're falling into this category of what you call them, degenerates that come over, I'm thinking they're not going to follow the etiquette anyway. They're not going to follow the rules. But you could post them. You could have them, you know, post them.
Well, you know what I love about her? Just the wit, the humor, and you know what? She doesn't take herself too serious. And that's just part of people who are on this planet that just get it. And Ray and Tay, we love that. So she said the truth, right? It's all about the truth, like Mr. Truth, William Truth.
The truth will set you free, and the truth can be very funny, too. And
definitely,
you know what? As
definitely.
Long as you can laugh at yourself, I think you can laugh at anybody. Because sometimes people look at you and they're like, how could you laugh at that person? And you know what? If you're immune from laughing at yourself, then you know what? You can't laugh at other people. But if you're willing to laugh at yourself, then why not? Laugh at other people. Life is too short.
It definitely is. And before we get to college football, just a couple of, you know, other NBA notes before we, you know, we talked about Odom. We do have to mention the Suns trade. I think, you know, they cleared up a little bit of cap space by moving Caron Butler, who they just got from the Clippers. But they send Caron Butler, the small forward, veteran small forward, to the Milwaukee Bucks since Carl Delfino is a little banged up and, you know, might miss the, you know, all of training camp or something. And they got Ish Smith, the point guard, who's been up and down but pretty talented, and then Slave Kratzoff, who's sort of like a forward center who's bounced around a couple teams. So, I see the Suns are trying to make some moves. I don't really get it because they've got a bunch of point guards, right, to bring Ish Smith over. But I think the Bucks might surprise us, Ray, and really fight for that eighth seed with, you know, Detroit, Washington, Boston. What do you think about that in the trade?
You know, poor Caron Butler, because he was at a certain point, you know, he went from being on championship teams to, and you know, with the Clippers team that should be fighting for a championship for the next 5 years, to now, you know, bouncing around Phoenix and Milwaukee, and you know, good thing he won a championship. But even when he won the championship with Dallas,
he was
got
banged
hurt.
Up, yeah.
So he didn't actually play in that playoffs.
Right.
So to me, he's a veteran, and I'd love to see him on a contender. Now, is Milwaukee going to contend for the eighth seed? I guess. The bottom of that East is so weak. The top of the East, those five teams are pretty good. But once you get from 6 to 10, they're
well, and
just,
Cleveland right there at 6, I think, will be pretty solid, too,
if
our boy is
so
healthy.
Five and a half teams, you know, six teams, call it. But the next four or five, they're all pretty interchangeable. They're not very good.
So, real quick, a couple other tidbits. Fab Mello, who they had just traded to the Grizzlies, was waived. And then the Raptors waived our boy, Quentin Richardson, who had, you know, been with the Knicks, was in that whole trade for Bagnarni. And this is the one that will warm your heart. The Cavaliers were just invited to training camp. Your boy, Kenny Kaji. How you like that?
Okay, well, you know. He's tall. He's
got a shot.
Dude, he's a, you know, player, Miami. He was second-round pick. So, you know, it's funny because I like to see these young kids get a chance, but that just means that some veteran's going to lose a spot. So we'll see. We'll
it goes
see if
both
he can
ways.
Make the team.
It goes both ways.
Yeah, we'll see if he can make the team. Look, we're very excited about this NBA season. You know,
can't
we've got
wait.
some just killer teams in the East and killer teams in the West. So the both leagues are both conferences are super top heavy. So I don't remember a year where five or six teams from both conferences are going to be fighting
all have
and
a shot.
All have legitimate chance to win an NBA championship. So and by the way, that team doesn't include Kobe Bryant and the Lakers. So when was the last time you had a Kobe Bryant team that really isn't in contention for the, you know, for an NBA title?
No, you're right. So real quick, let's breeze through some college football so we can get some time with fantasy football. Hey, South Carolina, Clowney didn't look so great. You know, they had the lightning delay. They win 27-10. No surprise there. I think the SEC is, you know, again, you know, just going to be super strong. And it's kind of ironic, right? You see Ole Miss beat Vandy in a you know, up-and-down game, 39-35. And both those teams look pretty good, Ray. And they're not even the, like, top, you know, teams in the SEC who've got in the top 25, like six or seven teams. So that's pretty fascinating to me.
From 7 to 10 in the SEC.
Yeah,
and the top six are in the, six of them are in the top 12.
Definitely.
Yeah, the SEC
definitely.
Is just a juggernaut. I still think they're going to beat up on each other. So speaking of SEC, well, first of all, there was also, let's finish what happened yesterday. There was that crazy
USC.
Game between Rutgers and Fresno State.
Oh, wow.
Now, let me ask you something. So if you're Rutgers and you're on the road and you're playing and you go to overtime, they score, they kick the extra point, you score, and now you have a dilemma.
You know what? I gotta go. I gotta tie it up, and then let my defense try to stop them again. I just don't get it. This early in the season, why on the road do you sort of, you know? Yeah, you go for the win, but you had an opportunity to tie it, and then still get a chance to win it again. So I think it was a bad call. And hey, maybe if they made it, everybody would have been tooting how great the coach was or whatever. But I don't think you start your team off like that in such a, you know. Could have been a big road win.
Especially in the Big Ten now, because you're not playing Big East football. You're playing Big Ten football, and you're going 0-1. You have to beat Fresno State.
Are they officially over there this year? I thought they started over there next season. Maryland and Rutgers, I think, start next season.
Yeah. You're right. But
yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying,
but still,
you got to win that game. I actually have less of a problem with it, because to me that means the coach thought he saw something. Either he thought that it's like the – in baseball, the coach that knows his, you know, the manager knows his pitching staff.
Yeah.
So either he thought that his D couldn't hold him, or he thought that somebody on his offense, because they would have gotten the ball back, right, because they go back-to-back, and somebody on the offense was getting tired. So you're on the road, across the country. You know what? I have faith in the coach, and if he made that decision, I feel like it was the best decision at that time for his team. So I don't have that much of a problem with it.
I can live with it. I feel you. So, okay, so USC, they beat Hawaii. They're number 24. They won on the road at Hawaii 30-13. Let's look at these games. Hey, we got to mention sort of the NCAA, you know, your boy Johnny Manziel. They play Rice. He's going to miss the first half. It's sort of like a glorified timeout. They should have done nothing or given him a real suspension. I think Texas A&M will still win the game. What do you I mean, it's kind of a mess, right? I mean, it's sort of like the NCAA just embarrassed themselves again, I feel.
Yeah, you know what? But they didn't have any evidence. So they had all these aspirations of, doing –
Well, because when you do cash, there's no real proof, right? You know, unless you got video seeing it happen, you don't, you know. So Alabama is favored, over 20 over Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's banged up, you know, it's at Virginia Tech or, you know, I don't know. I can't see Bama's going to probably win this game, 45-10. I feel sorry
Bama's
for Virginia Tech.
Bama's going to steamroll them. The real question is Clemson, Georgia. That's the game that everybody's looking forward to on Saturday night.
What are you
night.
Feeling? What are
Oof.
You feeling?
Oof. You know.
Can you imagine losing this? Your season could be over already.
Well, especially for Georgia, who's got to go through.
Right.
Clemson could lose and still go through the ACC, potentially. Georgia, if they lose, you know Georgia's going to lose once or twice more. So if they lose this game and lose twice more in the SEC, I mean, they're going to go to a mid-tier bowl, they'll finish fourth or fifth in the SEC. So they've got to win this game, Georgia, if they have any chance of, you know, finishing in a top.
And Clemson's number eight,
BCS
Georgia's number five. Give me a prediction.
Yeah.
What do you got?
You know, I have to.
Taj Boyd.
Taj
our boy Charles Davis.
Watkins,
you like?
Our boy. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go with Clemson. I'm just going to say that Clemson is going to do it. I think that ultimately Aaron Murray's going to have a chance at the end of the game to win it, and I think he'll come up short.
Done.
Yeah, okay. I think he'll come up short.
You know, I it's funny. I got to go Clemson with you, too. I'm thinking 31-30. It's going to be, 28-27, that type of game. And the one other interesting game before we get to fantasy football, because I know people want to hear it, LSU. Number 12 against number 20, TCU. That's a nice kind of matchup. Can TCU kind of pull the upset here?
TCU
or is LSU
nice.
Just choose?
If you don't know about TCU, that's Texas Christian University. You need to go and recognize what Patterson is putting together there at TCU. So I do think that they can win. And, in fact, if they played that game 10 times, I'm not surprised if TCU would win – five times. That's how close I think that game can be.
You're right, but I'll go with LSU.
You going with LSU? You going with the safe pick?
I think they're going to be too much.
I think LSU could win, but I'll go for the upset. I'll go for TCU. I'll take TCU at home. Why not?
Okay, and then in the only other really sort of interesting game, we talked about this with Charles Davis in terms of sort of sleeper, you know, teams. Number 19, Boise State at the new stadium of the Washington Huskies. I'm actually going to go with the crowd pleasers and take the home team. I'm going to go with the Washington Huskies for a little upset there.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think Boise State lost a lot on defense. I think those Seattle fans in any sport, whether it be college football, whether it be the Seahawks, whether it be the Mariners when they're playing well, haven't been playing well in years, but
yeah,
those
best
Seattle
sports fans,
probably. Yeah, number, you know, 12th man, just like Texas A&M has a 12th man, you know, the Seahawks have a 12th man, the UW, the Huskies have a 12th man, so I like Washington as well.
All right, so listen, when we get into it, let's get into it. We got two drafts together coming up, Real Ball and then the first annual Ray and Tay today. Let's sort of go around. Obviously, we just got to give you some of the
– Well, can I tell you my techniques, my skill on defending champ?
Well, first, let me tell them about a couple of injuries real quick that will affect them. Andre Brown, running back of the Giants, who will split time with Wilson, is banged up, out, broken leg, 4 to 6 weeks. The Raiders have not announced a starter yet. It could be Pryor, but, you know, Flynn passed for 70% completion. Pryor was only 58. I think for the athleticism, they'll probably go with Pryor, but who knows with that battle. You know, Gronkowski is probably going to be activated. Today the Patriots waived Daniel Fells and Jake Ballard. So look for Zach Sunfeld or whatever to really, you know, step up. And what is it, Kelly Tompkins at wide receiver along with Aaron Dobson?
Yeah, both of them need to be on your draft board, because if you think that Tom Brady's going to throw for 4,000 yards, which there's no reason to think he shouldn't, who is he throwing to? Because Danny Amendola, you know, if you get 12 games out of him, you'll be happy.
You're lucky.
With his history of getting injured.
Speaking of Brady, let's do it. Let's look at quarterback first. You know, hey, you've got different rankings. You've got different thoughts. I mean, a lot of people sort of have it where, you know, even like on ESPN, they have Rodgers, Brees, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Cam Newton as their top five. And Ryan is right there at six. Is there any – two things. One, when do you like to draft your quarterback? And because the quarterback position is so deep – I mean, you literally have got 17 quarterbacks that, you know, and I'm looking at Jay Cutler at number 17, that can give you super-duper points. Flacco is at, you know, 18, Andy Dalton at 19. When do you draft your quarterback, and who are you looking for? What quarterback do you want to lead, you know, hitting hard, your fantasy football team?
So I think that quarterback, because it's such a deep position, I'm not going to touch quarterback until round four.
Okay.
Maybe at the end of round three, but it's so deep that you could take – I'm just going to tell you who the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th ranked quarterbacks are. Stafford, Griffin III, Romo, Luck, Manning, Kaepernick. I mean, these guys here, you could win the whole thing with any of those guys. So if you figure if you're in a 12-person league – and everybody drafts a quarterback in the first five or six rounds, you could get 7 through 12 probably in round four, round five. So unless you really, really think that Brees, Rodgers, Manning, Brady, those four, maybe Cam Newton, can separate themselves, I wouldn't even go for a quarterback. I'd wait for the quarterback. Wait.
Right. Well, I agree, and I think obviously this year more than others, you know, the quarterbacks are so deep, and then the running backs are sort of, you know, children of a lesser god. So going from quarterback, let's look at running back. And to me, that's the first two picks for me would probably, you know, I haven't done any drafts yet. I've got about four or five leagues, three money leagues. You know, we draft, Sunday and Monday for our two leagues back-to-back. I got to say, I'm probably looking at double running backs get you a stud receiver and do the quarterback in the fourth or fifth round. Sometimes I've even waited to six or eight. Last year it bit me in the bullet. I normally like to get a gunslinger, as Tay calls it, you know, like a Manning, a Rodgers, a Brady. But last year I sort of went with Phillip Rivers on one team, Jay Cutler on the other, and it bit me bad. I actually will never draft those two guys again, even though, ironically enough, I do believe on the upswing, Jay Cutler, right, with Trestman there, and Phillip Rivers with McCoy, both of those quarterbacks should be on the upswing this year. But for me, I just wouldn't take them. So when you look at running back, okay.
Let me throw some names out there to you, and you tell me what comes to mind. So two guys that are top six, maybe even top, you know, top ten for sure, but maybe top six or seven.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, C.J. Spiller. What do you think of him? And number two,
very underrated.
Arian Foster.
Foster's a little banged up, but I think he'll be fine. The back seems okay. He's off the PUP. Foster would probably be the number two or three pick in most leagues. AP would probably go one. You know, the question is three on down. Spiller and ESPN, they have him at seven. I've seen other plays six or eight. I think Spiller has the potential because they're young quarterback. It's looking like maybe Tool will start the first week. They just waived Matt Leinart today, who was basically on a team for a week, right? It's kind of funny how far he has fallen, these USC quarterbacks. But they're probably going to go with E.J. Manuel, right? If he's healthy, he'll get the first week start. He'll probably be the quarterback for the season. Don't know when Cobb is going to be there. Fred Jackson is now 1B. 1A is C.J. Spiller. C.J. Spiller will get at least 25 touches a game, maybe 18 carries, 7 receptions. Fred Jackson will probably get 5 to 8 carries a game. So to me, I got to go, you know, Spiller to me could definitely be a number one or a number two running back in fantasy football. And Foster is, hey, he's the top of the line, and you
all
just got to take him.
Sleeper.
He's the top three.
Give me a sleeper in the running back category.
The sleeper is two guys, right? They just DeJuan Harris from the Packers got hurt for the season. So I like Eddie Lacy a little bit over Jonathan Franklin from UCLA, Eddie Lacy from Bama for the Packers. I think they're going to run the ball more this year. Especially, you know, don't want Rodgers' head to be taken off with, you know, some of the offensive line injuries. So I like him. I like David Wilson. Some people have him projected 17, 16, 18. David Wilson, because Andre Brown will be out 4 to 6 weeks, David Wilson will be a star and a stud as long as he doesn't fumble the ball with Ahmad Bradshaw, who I like as a sleeper at the Colts. As long as he's in Indianapolis now, hey, Eli's got the receivers, everybody's healthy, and then you got David Wilson. Along with, hey,
high and tight, like Coach Coughlin,
Brandon
Myers. Tiki. High and tight.
So let me ask you this. What do you think about the Jets and their running game? Do you think Goodson's out the first 4 weeks? How do you like Chris Ivory? Do you think, you know, for decent offensive line, do you think Chris Ivory could be a solid number two fantasy football running back?
Yes, I think he's solid. He is running behind a decent offensive line. They're going to stack the line, though. They're going to put 8, 9, 10, 11 in the box and make whoever's
Gino.
Going back there, whether it's Gino or Sims or Sanchez
hey,
when he
Sims
gets healthy.
Looks great. He looks great. So
well,
let,
a lot of people in New York think
rookies.
He should start.
Right,
but
a couple
I think
of rookies.
Ivory's solid.
Okay, he's solid. Giovanni Bernard with the Bengals. Can he eventually probably be a third down back, but can he surpass the law firm, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, and maybe – you know, get a split carries at least, you know, or something
small,
like that?
I think ultimately they're going to treat him like a small back and really only give him, you know, limited touches, try to get him out in space, try to take care of his talent. So my fear with him is just, does he touch it enough? Does he get enough touches? Like, on the other end of that spectrum, right, your guy Eddie Lacy looks like he's going to get a lot of work, and even Monty Ball in Denver is going to get a lot
yeah.
of work. You know,
as long as his assets are in order. Little grandpa.
Right.
Yes, yes. Well, okay, so I like Monty Ball.
Reference.
There you go. Got to have Rare Nubian, baby. Ray and Tay, hip-hop all day. So what about the Steelers? What about my Steelers? Is it Le'Veon Bell? Is it Jonathan Dwyer? Who do you think and what do you think a Steelers number one running back could potentially do? Would he be a backup or a number two fantasy running back? What do you think about Le'Veon Bell potentially?
I think it's by committee and Le'Veon
okay.
Bell until he's healthy. You know, ultimately, I think it's his job to lose. Jonathan Dwyer can play and Isaac Redman. And
I like
you've
Dwyer.
You've got three backs that are capable, but I think they mm-hmm. want Le'Veon Bell to take over.
They see in him, you know, the big back with some shifty moves. So not exactly Jerome Bettis, but kind of you know, in that ilk a little bit.
The bus.
So I don't know who from that offense is going to give you stats on a regular basis. So if he's your third running back, I get it, but I'm not sure that one of those Pittsburgh backs is going to be my second running back.
Okay, before we go to receivers, three quick little things. Do you like Miller in Miami? Do you like Hillman or Ball in Denver? You just said Ball, so probably Ball. And then in, oh, gosh, who's the other spot I was thinking about? Oh, Detroit, how do you look at Reggie Bush? I think Reggie Bush could have a surprising season.
So I like Miller.
Right.
In Miami, they have some questions on offensive line, but I think they should be able to do okay. I mean, if you think about it, last year Reggie ran for 1,000 yards in Miami. Daniel Thomas looked pretty good. So that offensive line is doing okay. Plus, I think the second year of the combination of the offensive coordinator plus Tannehill, your boy Mike Wallace is going to stretch the defense.
I
do think that'll open up some action. It's unfortunate for them that Dustin Keller went down, because that would have helped the running game, at least, you know, alleviate some of the pressure in the box. So, but
definitely,
I do think that the Miami running game is going to be solid. The second question was, in Denver, I like Monty Ball. I like it because he scored touchdowns at Wisconsin, and his assets are in order. And so he'll
but Ronnie Hillman will get some touches, though. You got to believe Ronnie Hillman.
Will get some touches. But I think also Peyton, at this point in his career, you know, he loves to pass the ball, but he's all about scoring and finishing drives with touchdowns. And I don't think he'd have a problem if his running backs combined for 12 to 15 touchdowns. I think he'd be happy with that. I don't think he needs to throw, you know, 40 to be happy. So I think that's fine.
Right, right.
And then in Detroit, you know, Michael LeSueur and Reggie Bush, I think both of them are going to have big years.
Yeah.
Matt Stafford threw the ball way too much last year. And, you know, what he threw, like 700 attempts. It was just crazy, just way too much.
Right,
and I think that Reggie Bush is going to give him not only that back that can run, and it turns out Reggie can run between the tackles a little bit, but it'll also give him that little scat back out of the backfield, you know, that elusive third down guy. So I think Reggie Bush will have himself a nice, solid season in Detroit.
Okay, just to appease some other fans in some other cities, I just got to sort of throw this out there. Between these guys, who do you take? We'll just do it like that. Morris or Trent Richardson? Alfred Morris with the Redskins or Trent Richardson? You go for Alfred?
Ooh.
Trent's pretty nice at Cleveland.
Wow.
Who would you take?
Wow. You know what? My personal pick, I think I'd take Trent Richardson. I think he's a little bigger. He's a little stronger.
More explosive, too.
And he's more, you know, maybe more explosive, and I think he'll score more touchdowns.
Okay, real quick. Jamal Charles with KC and Andy Reid, or the muscle hamster Doug Martin at Tampa?
I like Doug Martin. I you know, those little guys – Jamal Charles, I still don't understand how the guy's averaging 5.4 yards per carry in his career. I don't understand it.
One of the greatest in NFL history. Yeah.
Unbelievable. So I'm always waiting for defenses to catch up to him. And maybe
they
do, maybe they don't. I don't know. I like Doug Martin. I think he's solid. I think he gives you out of the backfield. He can catch. He can run. Look, these are two great choices, right?
You can't go wrong either way.
Doug Martin.
And the final one, LeSean McCoy with Chip Kelly or Ray Rice? It's hard. Because Ray Rice has got Bernard Parlett.
Yep.
And
I tell you
McCoy's
what,
got Bryce Brown.
I think that LeSean McCoy is going to get more touches. So I'll go with LeSean McCoy. I think if you believe that Chip Kelly's going to run up the offense and do maybe 20% more plays. So if a normal offense is doing 60, he's going to do 70, 75 plays. That's just more touches for LeSean McCoy. So I think that in terms of as a football player, I might like Ray Rice a little bit better,
just because I think he's just solid. He just doesn't have any weaknesses. I think LeSean McCoy is more explosive, and you give LeSean McCoy maybe three to five more touches a game, that's more chances to score and do his thing. And I do believe that only having Torrey Smith as your, you know, kind of explosive player, I think losing Bolden and then losing Pitta, you know, that's a big deal for Flacco and
for
that Ravens offense. So I think they're going to key on Rice, and so I like.
And they have Dallas Clark and Stokely, and that's not, you know, they're great, but they're older guys. So let's go to receiver. You know, definitely the show is moving right along. Okay, you got Megatron, you got AJ Green, and Dez Bryant. They seem to be clearly sort of like the top three. When you look at that next tier of Marshall, Julio Jones, Thomas in Denver, who's going to split a lot, Andre Johnson, Vincent Jackson, and I think coming back into that group is Larry Fitzgerald now that he has Carson Palmer. Who do you like in that second tier after the top three? Do you like Marshall?
I like
Larry Fitzgerald.
I like Fitzgerald. I think he's if you just put him on a football field, he'd be the best of those guys. I think Julio Jones is right behind him, but Roddy White, don't sleep on Roddy White. Roddy White might have a better
season. Well, he's a little banged
Julio
up, though. I'm a little concerned. You know, I'm always concerned about these injured guys. Like, I still don't trust Ryan Matthews from San Diego, running back. You know, I get worried about Antonio Gates, who's hurt every year. And then, you know, again, I got to say, Roddy White might miss week one. We don't have the official word on that yet, but I just worry. So,
Give me a couple sleepers.
Trust Josh Freeman? We'll get to sleep, but just real quick, do you trust Josh Freeman to have a big year for Vincent Jackson to be like one of those top, I mean, he's obviously a top 10 receiver, but do you like Vincent Jackson?
Vincent Jackson. I don't love him. I like the other guys better. I like Andre Johnson better. I like Fitzgerald better. I like Julio Jones better. So
is,
in that group,
is Randall,
he's at the bottom.
Okay, is Randall Cobb a true number one receiver in Green Bay?
No. He's a good player. He's not a true number one. But then again, Jordy Nelson, right, I think the combination is fine, and Aaron Rodgers will put up numbers, but I don't think Randall Cobb is in that elite category of true number one receivers.
Okay, here's a sleeper for you, rookie of the year potentially. We'll do our predictions on September 4th, the Ray and Tate NFL preview show. I like Tavon Austin. I think Greg Jennings could actually have a big year, him and Kyle Rudolph at Minnesota, with their quarterback, who I think Ponder is going to improve a little bit. And do you think Stevie Johnson could sort of step back into being a big-time receiver at Buffalo?
I think there's too much up and down with their quarterbacks, so I don't really love Steve. I love him as a player, but I don't think he'll put up great numbers. I actually don't love Tavon Austin.
Right.
I like Chris
Givens. I got to say, I think Stevie Johnson could do big things. I also, you know, I always
I like
love Nixon
and
Cruz.
That's my guy.
I think that you've got to pay attention to guys like Chris Givens at the Rams. I think, Sam Bradford is at that point where he's ready to explode. So Chris Givens and Tavon Austin could be dangerous. Josh Gordon is going to miss some games at Cleveland. I think he could sort of step up and be a sleeper pick. You know, there's certain receivers that, like, for example, in San Diego, I said Phillip Rivers will be back on the upswing with McCoy. I believe Vincent Brown is a receiver that you got to look out for the Chargers, you know, if you want sort of a number two, three receiver, and even a Reuben Randall, who will get at least 50 receptions, I believe, for the Giants as their number three receiver. It
like
could be more if there's any
year,
injuries.
Alshon Jeffrey.
Just looking at these different guys, I mean, hey, some of the guys are obvious. Look for Michael Floyd and Andre Roberts to do well in Arizona with Carson Palmer backing up Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald always gets the double team, and these other guys are going to do great. But the kid from New England.
Let's jump to tight ends.
Let's
jump to tight ends real quick.
But the kid from New England, Kembrill Tompkins, that is the sleeper. Him and Dobson, but Tompkins caught everything in training camp, and that's somebody you have to look for. From the Patriots, because like Ray said, Brady is still going
to
get his yards. I mean,
yep.
I don't think it's a question about what Brady's going
to
do.
Let's move on to tight ends.
So you gotta, you know, you always gotta account and you know for Brady and just his whole situation. Ray, you there?
Let me ask you this: outside of the top tight end,
I think that Ray will be joining us back in a minute, and when I look at, solid numbers at wide receiver, obviously, you know, Ray said Andre Johnson. I got to believe he's going to be huge. But I'm not a Cowboy guy. That's Ray's team. And this year, you know, for our boy that passed away, Kwame Ohene-Frimpong, I'm like, hey, you know, Dez Bryant, I could actually put a Cowboy on my team. My hashtag is Cowboys for Kwam. Brian Hartline, watch him being the Wes Welker this year at Miami. Ton of receptions. Ton of receptions for him. Still waiting for Ray to get back.
Well,
but,
I'm here.
You know,
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. So I was
okay.
Just saying that Hartline could be the Wes Welker this season over there in Miami since he's got the help now with Wallace. How do you like somebody like, you know, with Harvin being gone in Seattle, how do you like Golden Tate and maybe a healthy Sidney Rice? And then my sleeper at wide receiver. I already, while you were off, I mentioned Tompkins for the Patriots, but I like Jermaine Kearse, who I think will actually be a number two receiver for the Seahawks. But what do you think about Golden Tate?
I think he's solid. I think that he is got some chemistry there with Russell Wilson. I don't know that he's explosive, but he is a move the chains kind of guy. He's got good hands. He's just a solid guy to have on your team. I mean, I personally like T.Y. Hilton and Alshon Jeffrey as two guys that are number two receivers on their teams that are more explosive.
Okay. Well, you know, let's sort of move it to tight end real quick. Honestly, you know, with Gronkowski maybe coming back week three, and you don't know, you know, he's still got to strengthen up his core. You know, this year to me, you know, the top four guys are, you know, Gronkowski would be in that top five, but the top four guys are pretty clear. It's always going to be Jimmy Graham, the GOAT, Tony Gonzalez, you know, Witten, you know, Romo's best friend, and then Vernon Davis. I think this is the year where he could actually slide up higher because of, you know, your boy Crabtree being injured. Vernon Davis has the potential to be in the slot, be on the outside, you know, be tight end. He's going to sort of play receiver and tight end, and I just think from Yo Terps, Vernon Davis could explode and have a record-setting season. What do you think about
that? I think the back end, I agree. And I think that the back end of the top 10 in terms of tight ends offer some very interesting value. So I like Jermichael Finley. They said he's having a monster training camp. Jared Cook in St. Louis is doing big things. Jordan Cameron in Cleveland, you know, nicked up a little bit, but he can do some things. Kyle Rudolph in Minnesota. You know, anytime you're a quarterback and you're not, you know, you're not an elite quarterback, you love your tight end, right? You got Adrian Peterson back there. You got Greg Jennings stretching the defense a little bit. Kyle Rudolph is potentially going to do big things.
I like him too.
And then Sudfeld, we said, in New England, and then maybe Tyler Eifert in Cincinnati.
Definitely. Him and Jermaine Gresham should be good. I actually think this year you're going to get a little bit more out of Kobe Fleener. You know, Pep Hamilton is there. It's Andrew Luck's guy, that, you know, both second year. I think Kobe Fleener, Allen will do well, but I think Kobe Fleener will really just start to stretch the field. And don't sleep with Philadelphia. They'll do a lot of 2 and 3 tight end. Watch Zach Ertz. I think, you know, Coach David Shaw on our show, he talked about him. I think he could be somebody that develops over the season, maybe a midseason pickup for you, and does really well. The one guy that frustrates me, and I've had him on my team, and I just don't know if I'll take him anymore because he drops too many balls for the Lions, Pettigrew, Brandon Pettigrew. He drops so many balls. I just don't even understand it. You know, and Heath Miller will be out for a while, him in space for the Steelers, so we've got to see what they do. Obviously, Celek over there with Ertz. What do you
Fred
think with
Davis
the veteran? Dallas
is back healthy.
Bro, Fred Davis
might
with RG.
Be somebody to look at.
And so what do you think about a Dallas Clark? Can he sort of – I mean, you got to believe Flacco's going to throw to him, and he's got great hands. He could have a really sleeper season with Baltimore as a number two tight end
for you. Yeah, I think so. You know, that was all set up so beautifully – you know, for the other
Ozzie
tight
Newsom.
End. Well, yeah, Ozzie Newsom, you know, set it up for Dennis Pitta, right? Dennis Pitta would have had a breakout to me, would have had a breakout season. But instead, I do think that there is a lot of production at that tight end position available in Baltimore. So yeah, I mean, look, Dallas Clark was the man with Peyton. And even though Flacco's getting paid like Peyton, he's no Peyton, but he still loves his tight ends.
Yeah. Now, so one fantasy football rule, and, you know, we're going to wrap it up. We'll look at kickers and defense real quick. Kickers, hey, you can take anybody, Gronkowski, Walsh. But kickers, listen to us. When you look at the points in scoring, defense and kickers score the least amount of points. Your kicker, only draft them in the last round. If you draft a kicker before that, you're just wasting a pick. It makes no sense. I see guys do this in the ninth and tenth round, and I just want to throw up on myself. It is retarded. Do not do it. You can look for Matt Bryan. Look for Matt Bryan from Atlanta. He's a good kicker. You know, you've got some of the classic guys. Crosby, you know, have a bounce back year. So, you know, the kickers, you know, always, you know, Matt Prater for the Broncos.
Phil Dawson in San Francisco is going to have a big year.
Yeah, Phil Dawson will have a huge year. So, you know, just be patient and just take your kicker the last round. Josh Brown with the Giants. The Giants offense will score a lot of points. People always love Janikowski, but the Raiders might not score. So you take a kicker for a team that tends to really score a lot. Defense, you can wait to the second to last round. Some guys like to get a special defense early. If you're going to do it, it's Seattle, Houston, San Francisco, the Texans.
Right. If you're going to get those guys, get them early.
Or the Bears, because they score a lot. Yeah.
You know? But other than that, I agree. Wait
right.
on your defense.
Wait. And potentially this year, honestly, the Bengals. One, I think what they do is they get a lot of sacks. And so teams that get the sacks and interceptions, like the Patriots, they led the league last year in interceptions, so their defense is ranked pretty high. They give up a lot of points, but the Patriots' defense scores. So, honestly, I like the Broncos' defense a little bit. Steelers actually probably won't be that bad. The Rams are up and coming. But, honestly, you can wait to the second and last round to take a defense. But if you want to reach early, I wouldn't do it earlier than 10. I mean, I've seen guys do it in 7. They're like crazy. But, like I said, it's Seattle, San Francisco, Texans. I actually like the Bears and Minnesota's defense pretty good, too, and the Bengals get the sacks. So any magical name before we go, any magical sleeper name that you're just like, this is one guy that, hey, he might not start off the season early. Who would be your free agent signing of the year? Like, if there's one guy that you're like, you know what, he would be the guy. Could be any position. I'm sort of curious, and we got to give the fans a little something.
Yeah, so you know who I like as a sleeper, and maybe if you're watching Hard Knocks, I don't know. I actually haven't watched the show this year, but
it's great.
Like Mohamed Sanu in Cincinnati.
Ah.
I think that so much attention is going to be placed on the not only, obviously, AJ Green, but the tight ends now in Cincinnati,
right,
that he will never be double covered. So if he can get free and Andy Dalton can get him the ball, I look for Mohamed Sanu to have a good season.
Okay. I'll definitely buy that for a dollar. I like Sanu. You know, it's sort of interesting. We kind of mentioned him before. I really like Chris Ivory for the Jets. I think the Jets are going to run so much, and I think Chris Ivory, every time he played for the Saints, he had, you know, great yards per carry, almost like 4.8 yards a carry, I believe. And I just think this year, him and Jermaine Kearse are my two guys that I think that Jermaine Kearse, a wide receiver for Seattle, and I think Chris Ivory for the Jets are going to sort of be surprises and, you know, just get you a lot of points. Also, never forget Marcel Reese for the Raiders. If you're in a PPR league, he will catch a lot of balls, and he will also carry it because you don't know if McFadden will be there the whole season. That's about it right
well,
there, you
ready
know.
Ready for some fantasy. We got two drafts this weekend together.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited. I am. I can't even tell you, man. I'm
you're
hyped.
Like Bart Scott. Can't wait.
Well, listen, it's really going to be a battle because last year in real ball, Ray and Tay were in the championship game. So I got to get some revenge. I got to get some revenge on them. So, hey, like always, thanks to Elizabeth, I Miss Zero. She was fantastic. Go get the book. Etiquette for Idiots and Other Stupid Stories. It's going to be great. And, hey,
very funny.
We'll see you on Wednesday.
Website, ElizabethZero.com.
Yeah.
Check it out.
And we'll catch you on Wednesday, 2 p.m. Eastern, for the NFL preview show for Ray and Tay today. Have a great Labor Day, and thanks for talking sports with friends.
We'll see you on the flip side.
Peace.
We're out.
That's the music. There we go. A little Ray and Tay. Come on. Peace.